Last Thursday, I spoke to you in the meeting about. I began talking to you about praise brings a victory, and we began to look at some things, some principles from God's Word. Very important that we understand, and we said this as well, that you know we need to understand what is being taught, what is being said in God's Word. Otherwise, it just goes over our head. One of the things that we said on Thursday is that it's important during praise to acknowledge Him. And we spoke about what acknowledgement means. I'm not going to go over that because I spent quite some time on Thursday doing that. I needed to sort of lay the foundation for where we're going today, because we're going to go this week and next week, we're going to be talking more about praise. Now, there are some factors I'm not going to teach on this week, but I need to let you know I'm going to give you at least 5 different factors from my memory, okay, that I think is important for us to understand. If we're going to praise God, there are some foundational truths that must be in operation in our lives. Number one, we must operate in love. Amen? Amen? Amen. You've got to operate in love. As a matter of fact, that's no question. God is love, and if God is in us, then we've got to function, we've got to operate in love. And the Bible tells us in Galatians 5:6, I think it is, that faith operates by love. So that's the second factor that needs to be in place. We need to be operating in faith. The Bible tells us quite clearly that Romans 12:3, to every man is given a measure or the measure of faith. And the Bible tells us again in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please Him. Okay, so if you're going to come to God, you must come in faith. All right, that's number two. Number three, we've got to be a people of the Word. We've got to know God's Word. We cannot be ignorant of God's Word. And that is very important for us to realize, because if there is no Word, there is no victory. Okay? And we looked at that. We spoke about that on Thursday once again. And Hosea chapter 4:6. God was speaking and He said something. He said, "My people are perishing because of lack of knowledge." And God has given us His Word so that we can have knowledge of His intents, of His purposes in our life. And so your knowledge is going to come from the Word of God. And so if there is no Word intake, then there is no power output. Simple as that. Okay, number four, praise and worship. And I'm talking about that today. Praise and worship is a necessary factor in our lives. And I won't say too much on that because I'm talking about that today. And number five, obedience. Obedience to what God is saying. We're going to see a little bit of that today as well. Obedience to His Word. Obedience to what He expects us to do, He commands us to do. And obedience just about in every sphere of our lives as far as God's purposes and His Word is concerned. So, we're going to look today at 2 different passages. I'm going to take you, go with me now. I'm going to go right there immediately. Well, turn there immediately. And let's look at that in a few moments. Okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Alright, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We'll look at this passage in a moment, but before that I want to mention a few things. Because if we're talking about praise brings victory, let's understand what praise is. Okay? And we know this already, we've taught it over the years. I'm just going to remind you this morning what praise is. So praise is, first of all, it means to applaud. It means to commend. It means to express approval of. It means to extol. It means to magnify. And the list goes on. All these words and more define what praise is. Okay? And I said on Thursday that you cannot praise God internally. Okay? There's no biblical precedence for that. I don't see it anywhere. Okay? There's no biblical precedent. Praise demands more of yourself. You're going to see that today in a couple of passages I'm bringing you to. You're going to see it exemplified so that you're clear through these examples of what praise actually is. Praise is preoccupied with who God is and what He has done. That's what praise is preoccupied with. Who He is and what He has done. So praise is also a function of the will and not the emotions. Okay? Praise is a function. These are well-known phrases I've been quoting a lot over the years. It's a function of the will. Thank God. Every single one of us have a will. God has given us a will. So you use that will to decide, to make decisions every single day. Whether you're going through trials or not. Okay? You use your will this morning. You use it this morning to be in church. You use it this morning to get dressed. And if you've had breakfast, you use your will to do that. So sometimes it's almost like automatic. But even though it seems like it's automatic, it's there. You are using your will. Part of your soul compartment that God gave to you when you were made. Okay? Still talking about definition of praise. Praise is a force. Okay? And I put up there on the screen that a force is something that causes change. Again, you're going to see this today. Praise is a force. I've preached several sermons, at least five or six different sermons on force. And I've shown you different things that are actually a force. Love is a force. Diligence is a force. And I've taught on this. Praise is a force. Worship is a force. And we could go on. I've preached some more things that describe something that causes a change, and that's what a force is. So when you begin to praise God, what you're doing is you are creating the atmosphere for God to work. You're creating the atmosphere to draw the presence of God. Okay? Because the Bible tells us clearly that God inhabits the praises of His people. And so if He inhabits the praises of His people, the more God's people praise Him, is the more they will see God move and His presence intensify. And that's where we're going in a moment. Alright, so Psalm 47 verse 6, before we go to 2 Chronicles 5. Psalm 47 verse 6 and 7, it says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our God, our King. Sing praises. For God is the King over all the earth. And so it ends by saying, sing praises to Him with understanding. Okay, sing praises to Him with understanding. And this is what we talk about on Thursday. Part of understanding is acknowledgement. And so when you're praising God, you are acknowledging Him. You're not just giving word service, lip service, but you are doing it from your heart. You're doing it with understanding. I'm praising God because He's a good God. He woke me up this morning. He's provided for me. He brought me here safely. He's with my family. He's with me in every single circumstance, whether it's positive or negative. I'm praising God because He's given me breath. Amen. And that's why the psalmist says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we praise God with the understanding. And that's how your worship, that's how your praise becomes really powerful and effective. Because you've personalized it. You've acknowledged Him. You know Him relationally and experientially. You've embraced Him and recognized Him as a God of truth. Okay? And that's what acknowledgement does. So if we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5, I'm not going to actually read the whole chapter there. But what I think I will do is just point out some things. As a matter of fact, my PowerPoint will help me this morning, because I want to mention some things, show you some things, then I want to move on to a different passage, show you that the force of praise working in these two different stories. And then next week, I'm going to bring it to the New Testament. And we're still talking about praise. And praise brings a victory. And I'm going to show you that also in the New Testament as exemplifications of this. So 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Okay. What was happening here was the work for the temple had just been finished. Okay. The ark was brought into the temple. Everything gathered up. And then the furnishings was gathered there. Everything was gathered there. And then the priest brought the ark, verse 7 says, ark of the Lord, into its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. And then we see what began to happen now was the priests gathered together and they began to praise God. And the people began to praise God. And I'm going to go to verse 13. Okay, it says, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, very important, to make one sound. They were as one to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that the house of God, or the house of the Lord, was filled with the cloud. So much so that the priests, the last verse says, could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. Let me tell you what was happening here. The people gathered together. They just didn't gather out of habit. They came in one accord. Come on, say with me, one accord.
One accord.
That's what they came with. They came in unity. They came in unison. They came with one purpose. So even though the trumpeters were there, the cymbals were there, the singers were there, the choir was here, and different people were there, they came as one. Each one had their part to play, but they were one. And the Bible says this, that they came in oneness, and they lifted up their voices and praise as one sound. So what came out was harmony. What came out was beauty. What came out actually pleased God. And this is the point. God's presence began to come down. Remember I told you that God is everywhere, but he doesn't manifest himself everywhere. You remember that? Alright, some of you looking like you don't remember. God is everywhere. We know this already. Okay, God is everywhere. Okay, he's omnipresent. But he doesn't manifest himself everywhere. And his manifestation is what we need as the church today. The church, not just Living Waters, but the church universal. We need his intensified presence in and amongst us. And one of the things that brings this about is what we're reading about today. Because this is what we see. Let me just go through the summary of this for you very quickly. So that the temple was completed. And then the furnishings were brought. We see this, innumerable sheep and oxen brought. I believe the Bible says here that, because it was more than once that this happened. Okay, when you read the preceding chapters, you see that they brought more sacrifices. You see that they continued to praise God. But here, when it's first mentioned, the Bible says that it was so much sheep, so much cattle, so much animals that were brought, that it couldn't be numbered. And you think that must have been a lot. Because later on, in chapters 7, I think, you'll see again that they brought sacrifices. And there's numbers given. 120,000, I think it is, cattle alone was brought. Fancy sacrificing in one day 120,000 cattle. That's quite a feat. And if you think about it, that's quite something. And it must have been something back in the day. But anyway, so they brought innumerable sheep and oxen. The Ark of the Covenant was brought, which only back then, at this time, contained the Word of God, the Ten Commandments. Didn't have anything in it else, I don't think, at that time. The priests, the Bible says, were sanctified. The musicians and the singers, they sang as one, praising God and thanking God. And then when the praises rise up, guess what? The cloud came down. God's presence now was intensified. God was there, but his presence wasn't intensified until these things happened. Are you with me, church? So the praises went up, God's presence intensified and came down, so much so that the Bible says that they could no longer continue to minister in the house of God, the priests. They had to stop what they were doing because the cloud of God's glory was so thick. God was amongst them. God was with them. He was amongst them. And God was now ready to work, ready to do something. And so we say, well, what's the purpose of this then? Well, what are you saying? I'm saying here with this story that when we praise God, his presence is intensified amongst his church. Can I get an amen? His presence is intensified amongst us. But it won't happen if you don't praise God. It won't happen if your mouth is just still. If the only time you praise God is in church, that's not good enough. And God wants you, he's with you all the time, and he's looking for you to praise him and to magnify him. Well, Pastor David, how can I do that? I'm going through trouble. I'm going through trials. But take your eyes off your trouble. Take your eyes off of your trials and place it on Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? Exhort him. Learn how to fight. Because if you don't, the enemy is going to bring you right down. And he will come and whisper things in your ears. And before you know it, you're believing it. And the blame game now begins to happen. Where you point the finger on other things, other people, your boss at work, and everything else. When really, the answer is within you. And we've got to activate that power that God has given us. And say, no matter what, I will bless the Lord. The psalmist said that, Psalm 34 verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. In the good times, he's going to bless the Lord. In the bad times, he's going to bless the Lord. Folks, that's got to be our resort. It's got to be our resolve. No matter what is going on, I'm going to praise God. You want to see God move? You want to see his presence intensified in your heart and in your life? Then you got to learn to praise God. Can I get a loud amen? Alright, so let me just point out some keys. I don't want to say too long on this. And by the way, let me just mention this as well, in case I don't remember to mention it. You see, when you read chapter 5, your people praise God, they offer sacrifices. I'm coming to three keys in a moment, okay? And then God's presence intensified. That's not all that we saw. If you read chapter 6 and you read chapter 7, you see that in chapter 6, the king stood up and he made proclamations. And then he went into prayer. And then he right before the people, Jehoshaphat bowed himself right before the people on an altar that he built. I think it was a platform, a bronze platform. The Bible mentions it, 5 by 5 cubits, wide and long. And he stood up on it and then he fell down on his knees. The Bible says, lifted up his hands and began to pray to God. And began to, in front of the people, he began to make declarations. And he began to call upon the God. And you know what he's doing? When you go home, read that chapter 6, you'll see that Solomon not only just dedicated it, he prayed to God, but he reminded God. Most of chapter 6 is Jehoshaphat's prayer. And when he prayed to God, he was reminded God of who he is and what he's done and what he said. And that's exactly why God has given us his word today. So that we can remind him of what he said. So that we can remind him of his problem. Not that he forgets, but he wants us to bring our strong reasons before him. And that's coming from the word of God. And when we bring our strong reasons before him and say, Lord, you said, then he will activate. He's got to move on your behalf because he's a God of integrity. Okay, he will do what he said he would do. But we also see further than that, back in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, and beyond, we see something like a reformation taking place. Because when he had finished doing what he was doing, he made changes. And those changes are mentioned right there in your Bible. But let's come back to this, because I want to bring up three important keys before I go to the second passage that I'm going to this morning. Number one, keys to identify God's presence. Number one, sanctification. Come on, everybody say sanctification. It's very important. Before anything happened, the Bible says that the priests sanctified themselves. And that's in verse 11. Sanctification, or to be sanctified, means to be set apart for service. It means to make holy. It means to make or render clean. That's what sanctification is. Before they rushed before God asking him for things, they sanctified themselves. They cleansed themselves. You may be saying, well, that's Old Testament. We don't need to do that today. I beg to differ. We still need to make sure and remember that we are coming before a holy God. All right? And God describes us as his holy people. Now, his holy people sometimes find themselves in places and doing things that they shouldn't do. And finding themselves in different sort of quagmire, if you like. But whatever the situation, God's arms is always outstretched to his people. Isn't that good news? That we don't have to worry, we don't have to fret, oh God, I can't go to church now because look what I've done this week. Or look what happened. Or look what I said. Or look where I went. No, you don't have to do that. You can come before God and you will receive help and mercy in the time of need, the writer of Hebrews says. And so we serve a God who's merciful. We serve a God who is kind. We serve a God who is ready to act on behalf of his people. We serve a God who says, no matter what it is, you come to me and I'll get you right. I'll say, the biggest mistake that you can make, and a lot of Christians do this, is trying to fix it yourself. And you hear sometimes people say this, I'm not going to church until I get rid of this thing, or I solve this thing, or solve this problem. You can't do that. You're trying to do what God has already done through Jesus Christ. The finished works of the cross means that we have access to the finished works. So it's already done. So what we need to do is to come to God. And when we come to God, we make that our petitions before Him. We make or we declare what He has already declared. And then we come and we say, Father, forgive me. Simple as that. Repentance is a necessary tool in the life of the believer today. And then we come to God and we repent. It means to repent. The prefix RE means to go back. And pent means top. You're going back to the top. So if you fell from the top, because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, thank God you can come back to the top. Amen? Amen. You find yourself falling, you can come back to the top. Not through works. Not through self-effort. Not through trying to fix it or do it your way. But by coming humbly before God and saying, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I messed up. And I need you to help me. And I want to tell you this, that you come to God honestly and purely and sincerely like that, God is there. He's already there before you even open your mouth to ask. He's ready because He loves you with an everlasting love. Now, sanctify. John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. John 15 and verse 3 says, you are already clean because of the word which I spoken to you. We said this on Thursday. I gave you a few scriptures. This was one of them. I think another one was Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse her. This is the church, with the washing of the water by the word. Ephesians 5:26. I didn't give you this one on Thursday, but I'm going to give you another one. Psalm 119 verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? And then the same verse gives the answer. By taking heed according to the word. By doing what, church? Taking heed according to the word. Taking heed according to the word. According to the word. Taking heed, but according to the word. Not according to your opinion. Not according to man's opinion. Not according to what man says. Not according to the systems of this world. Not according to your own thoughts that may need to be lined up with God's word and is not. But by taking heed, that's how you cleanse yourself, by taking heed of the word, by taking heed according to the word of God. And so the Bible is quite clear. When we take in the word, we're washed, we're cleansed. We said this on Thursday. We're washed, we're cleansed, we're sanctified. So all you need to do is you need word intake. Word intake. Then the Holy Spirit will line you up. The Holy Spirit will show you. Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. The Holy Spirit, folks, will strengthen you. Because God knows sometimes the things that you go through is tiring. I don't know about you, but in the last year I've been going through a lot, more than you may recognize. A lot. And it impacts you physically. So I have to make sure, more than ever, that number one, I'm in prayer. Not just prayer with God, of course that's important, but prayer with God's people. I cannot neglect that. Because to neglect that is to neglect the counsel of God. Now I'm going to be messing up. Because I'm neglecting the very thing that God wants me to do. So I cannot neglect corporate prayer. I've got to do that. I've got to do what God says. I said this at the beginning. We've got to follow out with His counsel. Whatever He says we've got to do, that's what we should do. Let me get back to this. So number one, sanctification. Okay? Set apart for service. That's a very important key. Number two, sacrifices. Now, we don't need to bring animals before God. But this was a key thing. The people willingly brought not just animals, but before that in the preparation of the temple, they brought things. Okay? Things that was needed for the temple. They brought it. They gave it. Alright? And now we see that they brought animals here to sacrifice. Today we don't bring animals, but what we do is we give our time. We give of ourselves. We give of our praises to God. And the list goes on. There's different ways in which we today can bring the sacrifices. But we need to make sure and ensure that we recognize the importance of this and that we're doing it. Jeremiah 33 and verse 11 says the very same thing that is actually mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. It says this, a part of the verse says, "For the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever." And that's what they were singing. We see that in 2 Chronicles 5. "For the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever." And here we see it echoed. And you know what was happening here? They were remembering what happened back then. Okay? And doing and saying the same thing. They were learning lessons and bringing it here. I don't know the context. I'm not going to go into the context. I don't want to get distracted. But "for the Lord he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord." And so we've got to... There's a reason why it's called a sacrifice of praise. Because the flesh sometimes doesn't want to praise God. Have you felt that? The flesh at times doesn't want to pray. The flesh at times doesn't want to do what God wants us to do. The spiritual things that we need to do. The right thing that we need to do. The flesh doesn't want that. And so there's a constant fight between the flesh and the spirit. Between the word and doing it God's way. Doing it my way, doing it God's way. And there's a constant fight. But we win if our minds are stayed on the Lord. We win if we involve, okay, Christ in our lives on a daily basis. And not just switching him on when I come to church. Switching it off and then just doing your own thing. We win. Come on, shout out with me. I win. Say this with me. I am a winner. Even when it seems like I'm losing, I have won. And that's you. That's what the God's word says about you. You are more than a conqueror. But you've got to learn, even in the difficult times, to come to the house of God, to get up in the mornings in your devotion time, wherever you are, to give God thanks and to talk to him. I don't care if people think I'm mad anymore. There was a time when I would sort of mask it. You know, I'm driving and I'm saying, "Oh, I bet people might think I'm mad. I'm alone in the vehicle and nobody's there. And yet I'm talking, seem to be talking to myself." I used to care once upon a time. Today, I don't care. If you want to call me mad, call me mad. Look at that man, he's driving and looking, he's talking and nobody's there. He's talking to himself. No, I'm talking to God. I'm talking to him. And I'm blessing him and I'm praising him. I don't just praise God when I'm at church. I praise him in the mornings. I praise him when I'm driving. I bless him. Sometimes I feel a prompting in my spirit at times. And I'm sure you feel this too. Where you stop whatever you're doing and just go one side and praise God. Do you know I used to get a lot of that when I was working out there in the secular field? Sometimes I would just have to get up, go into the toilet, go to an empty room, go somewhere, and just lift up my hands and bless God. I found an empty room one time when I was working for the London Borough of Camden. And the building was being emptied, so I thought, you know, they were going floor by floor. I was at the top floor. And I said, "Nobody's going to catch me." I just went into a large room. It was just a little bit smaller than this room. Because those rooms are large, I'll tell you, a little bit smaller than this room. And I went in there and I just started praising God. I just walked up and down and I just praising God. I didn't ask God for things. I don't remember asking God for things. I just blessed him. I just praised him. And then I started rejoicing. Then I started jumping. Then my voice became louder. And I'm thinking, I'm the only one on the floor. And then when I looked, you know, those doors have windows like that. Exactly that size. And when I looked, I saw a face. I looked at the door and I saw a face went that way. And I said, "Oh my God, somebody saw me." But I didn't care. And then was it seeing me in that room by myself? What am I doing? But I just praised God when I went to the door. When they were gone. You know, they were gone. But I just, you know, I just needed to praise God. Learn to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Because you never know the transactions that will take place behind it. Sometimes God calls you to, or wakes you up in the morning to pray, and to pray for somebody, whether you know them or not. You don't have to know them, you know. God can wake you up and say, "Pray for somebody in a different country." Pray for that country. Pray for a town. He can give you that town in that country. And you pray. And when you pray, things happen. And you may never know the result of it. You may never know the detail. But the only thing is this. You follow the obedience and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me, church? We've got to be spirit-led, you know. Because if we're not careful, what's out there in the world now will come right in and confuse us and distract us from everything. And we can't allow that to happen. We've got to be focused on Jesus. We've got to practice His presence. So I need to move on. Number three, the third key to intensify presence is the musicians and the singers praising God with one sound. Unity. Okay? They were praising God with one sound. The word praising there, I've given you the Hebrew, is halal. There's a couple of yada is also used later on. But here in verse 13, halal is used. And you got it up there. It means to boast. It means to commend, to shine, to shout, to celebrate. You see, these words are expressive. They're demanding. This is why you can't praise God internally. Because when it comes to yada, yada means to thrust your fingers up in the air, to give God praise, to celebrate, to shout, to audibly bless loudly. And so that demands more than you at times. And so the Bible says in Psalm 133 and verse 1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's a pleasant thing when people are unified, when churches are unified, when everybody is gathering together, just like they did back then, in oneness to give one sound. God loves that. He loves it. Again, behold how good and how pleasant it is. Why? Because that attracts the presence of God. When some are praising God and some are not praising God, that doesn't attract the presence of God. That doesn't attract corporately, I'm talking about. I mean, God's presence will come, don't get me wrong, if, you know, 10 of us decide to praise God and 2 decide they're not. No, God's presence will show up, but you won't experience the manifestation. You won't experience the blessing. You won't experience the result and the things that God wants you to actually experience. Proximity to an anointing does not guarantee reception of that anointing. Because you're near somebody who's praising God and they're being blessed, doesn't guarantee that you're going to be blessed. Because it's a personal thing. So you've got to show up, and you've got to show up with the Lord. Note these things. They praised God of their own accord. Nobody had to prompt them. Nobody had to push them. They praised God. They weren't afraid to open their mouth and praise Him. Their praise was only 2 lines: "For His good and His mercy endures forever." That's all. And as I said to you in Jeremiah 33, we see another group of people doing what they did. There's not to be many words, but it has to be sincere. It has to be truthful. They sang of God's goodness and His mercy. They made it about God. Talking about the devil. No, talk about God. Stop talking about what the devil has done or what the devil is doing. Talk about what God is doing and what God has done. Come on, and what God is going to do in your life. Talk about that. They were bringing their sacrifice of praise as well at the altar. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20, I want to show you something before I... Oh, the clock is there. I'm good for time. 2 Chronicles 20, a different circumstance, different set of people here. And let me give you a rundown of what was happening here. Okay, 2 Chronicles 20. Judah had been surrounded by 3 different nations. Okay, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. 3 different nations came to destroy Judah. Now, remember this, that Judah was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. You know that the whole 12 tribes, they split. Okay? And Judah was, mostly Judah was one tribe that had one country, okay, that had its own territory now. And the rest of the 11 tribes okay, decided to go their own different way. You can read about the split. I think it's in 2 Kings chapter 7, I think it is. You can research it and look it and read up on it. Quite interesting. But here we see one tribe of Israel being surrounded by three different nations. Now, when we read this, that, let me see if I can find a verse. Then Jehoshaphat, verse 3, feared. You see, fear will always show up, folks, when things happen. You know, you get a big, massive bill. Guess what? Fear shows up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You feel that spirit of fear, you know, shows up. You get bad news about your body sickness or your job, you're losing your job or whatever it is. Spirit of fear will always show up. And it showed up here with Jehoshaphat. But look what he did. He set himself, the Bible says, to seek the Lord. Wow. He set himself to seek the Lord. He didn't say, right, well, let me see how much armies I can get and how much I can rustle help from the different nations or who can help us now. He didn't go into panic mode. He set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. So this was not just a leader, but it was the people as well. Asking for help from the Lord. And verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O God of our fathers, are you not in heaven and do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hands is there not power and might that no one is able to withstand you? So again, what he was doing here was reminding God of who he is, what he said, and what he said he would do. And that's what that whole chapter 20, most of chapter 20, is doing. But we see some other things there as well. Okay? Verse 18. Let me go skip down to verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. All Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord. What were they doing? Worshipping the Lord. Do you see that? So trouble come. It looks like they're going to lose. Looks like they're going to be defeated. Looks like they're going down now. It looks like everything's going wrong. But they set themselves to seek the Lord. Very important. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites, verse 19, and of the children of the Korathites, stood up to praise the Lord. And this was before, okay, the enemy showed up, but their response now was to seek God, and then number two, to praise God. So they rose early in the morning and went to the wilderness of Tekoa. I'm not going to read that. And then they went down there, and the long story is this. I think I have the summary coming up here. Okay? They went and let me put it up. So they sought the Lord, Jehoshaphat prayed, they came together before the Lord, they heeded Jehaziel's words. Let's read that in verse 15 and 16 because that's important actually. Verse 15, then he said to them, this is Jehaziel the prophet, he said to them, listen all you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. The battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them and they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And I think I've put it up there, the three things that the prophet said to them. Number one, he said, don't be afraid. Number two, he said, stand still. And number three, God will prosper you. This battle is the Lord's. Let me read it again. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear come in. Number two, go down and position yourself. So he was saying, go down, stand still. You don't need to fight. God's got this. Don't fear. Position yourself. God will prosper you. Don't fear. Position yourself. God will prosper you. Folks, what are you going through today? Because I believe God is saying the same thing to us today. Whatever you're facing, don't fear. Position yourself in obedience to what God is saying. Position yourself in prayer. Position yourself, how? Just like these guys here, in praise and worship. Don't let the devil and circumstances steal your joy. Don't let stuff that's happening in life rob you of your ability to praise God. I wonder if you're with me today. Do you understand what I'm saying? No. Do you understand what the Word of God is saying? Because if you don't get this, then God help us. Alright? Don't fear. Position yourself. God will prosper you. Some battles we don't need to fight. God's got you. I said, God's got you. When you've done all and having done all, you've got to be able to say like Paul, I will stand. But that's going to be dependent upon what you do. Right? It's got to be dependent upon what you do. Singers and praisers arranged and they praised God. When did they praise God? They praised God before they got the victory. I hope you haven't missed that. Because it's in verse, let me just mention it quickly. It's in verse 19. Right? They stood up to praise God. And it's also in verse 22. When they began to sing praise, the Lord set ambushes. When they began to sing, the Lord set ambushes. When they began to sing, the Lord set ambushes. Your praises, folks, it's more than just a pretty beautiful sound that you're singing in this place. It's going up to a God who is actually looking out for you and setting ambushes for the enemy to wherever traps is laid. Whatever is going on. You see, you don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the day. Nor do I. You don't know what's going to happen in detail this week. But God does. Do you understand me, church? And so when you praise Him, you are involving Him. You're bringing Him right into your personal presence. His presence now will be intensified. It's not good enough just to say God is everywhere. No, I want His presence intensified. That's what happened in 2 Chronicles 5. So that the praisers, the priests couldn't do their business anymore. They couldn't do a thing because the cloud of God's glory was showing up. And that's what happened here. When God showed up and said, no, I got this. I hear you. And I received that praise. And it's sweet smelling savor in my sight. And when you can do that with truth and sincerity, you know, it's meaningful to God because God sees it's coming from the heart and not just the mouth. It's coming through your mouth, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's coming from your heart, deep down within. And so they set themselves to praise God and they got the victory. So what are some of the keys that we can learn from this? Number one, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. Your first response in every single situation, no matter what you're going through, big or little, is to seek God. Your first response in every single situation is to seek the Lord. I didn't say pray, you know. I said seek. That means actively pursue. And you can't tell me, because I've been there. When you actively pursue God, He hears and He answers. And I was just reminding the Lord, not that the Lord needs reminding, talking to God yesterday about something that He did for me personally. That came out of the suddenly. And it was unexpected. Big, massive breakthrough that I needed. But I remembered I had to settle myself and still myself and seek God's face. I had to do that. And when I did that, and I think maybe the Lord was reminding me, but you steadied yourself and you sought my face. And so, yeah, of course, I showed up and I helped you with that. And the same God that helped these folks, the same God that helped me, is the same God that was helping us today. But you've got to seek Him. Okay, you've got to seek His face. Psalm 34 verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Number two, second thing that we can learn from this, the people obeyed. So they didn't just seek God, but when God spoke to them through the prophet Jehaziel, they obeyed. In verse 20, Deuteronomy 28 in verse 1 says, now it shall come to pass if you diligently, steady, constant effort in obeying the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high. What is that? That's promotion. God is your promoter. He's the one who promotes. Number three, they praise God, verses 19 and 22. They stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with voices loud and high. How do they praise God? With voices what?
Loud.
Loud and high. Come on, church, are you awake? They praise God how?
Loudly.
Loudly. Don't be afraid to say loudly. Don't be afraid to use your voice. Again, we spoke about this on Thursday. We've got to use our voice. We've got to activate our voice. But you see, it's got to come from somewhere deep within. And if that connection ain't there, then you're missing something. And it goes nowhere. Again, I repeat. Acknowledgement is a core of praise. And without it, praise is valueless. Unless you have that acknowledgement, that connection between you and your God, your praise is valueless. Doesn't go anywhere. Doesn't accomplish anything. Because it's going to come from, you see, this is why God looks past the action and looks straight at the heart. Because that's where it's going to come from. The word halal is used here in verse 19, I think. Is it 19? Let me have a look. No, I haven't got it marked. Okay. I think it's verse 19. Halal, to boast, to commend, to shine, to shout, and to celebrate. So what was the result from praising God? Well, let's have a look. Victory in the wilderness. Verse 16 and 24. Enemies defeated. Verse 24. Wealth came in. Verse 25. They blessed the Lord. So they praised God before, but they praised him after. Verse 26. They returned with joy. Verse 27. They went to the house of God. They didn't abandon God's house. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we go through difficulty, we go through trials, we go through stuff. And when you're going through it, you're everywhere to be seen as far as prayer is concerned and fellowship. Nobody can't see you more diligently in the Word than when you're going through a difficult time. But my God, help us. Because sometimes people, Christians, just abandon the Word, abandon prayer once you get your breakthrough. And that's sad, church. And that ought not to be. So be careful. Guard your spirits. Don't let that happen to you. Okay? They went back to the house of God. Principles for us to learn. Okay? The fear of God now was on all nations, because the nations, those around, heard what God had done and is doing amongst one tribe. One tribe. Three countries could not defeat one tribe. I tell you this, one man, one woman with God is a majority. It's not always about numbers. One man, one God is a majority. That's why, again, I went through my Bible and I highlight every verse in the Bible where the remnant is mentioned. And it's amazing, because it's where the remnant is mentioned, a lot of the times you see God using them. And tremendous things happening. Not with the big massive crowds, but with the remnant. With those who are serious about God and about his kingdom purposes. The fear of God was on nations, and they had rest. Man, that's important too. They had rest. I think, was it 30 years? You can read it. I think it's in there somewhere. I can't remember. I think it's mentioned there. But they had rest. They had rest for years. The nations around them didn't trouble them anymore. They had rest. God gave his people rest. All right, so let's look at some verses. Psalm 22, verse 3. God inhabits the praises of his people. Never forget that. He inhabits the praises of his people. Even though it may be difficult at times, but get resolved within yourself that I will bless the Lord. Okay? Psalm 50 and verse 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. So you see, it's one thing praising God, but guess what? And we see this in the story. They had to get their conduct right. And they bowed themselves with fasting. And they came when Jehoshaphat called them. And they gathered together to pray and to seek God. To him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of the Lord. So you can expect God to intervene when you have taken time to intercede. The people of Judah took time to intercede. King Jehoshaphat took time to intercede. So God intervened. These are principles. Remember what I said about a principle on Thursday? Okay? That a principle outlasts time, culture, creed, religion. It outlasts all these things. Okay? And it stands and operates in any of these spheres. Okay? Persistent perpetual praise produces power. Say that with me. Say it again. Never forget that. Okay? Persistent. Each of these words are important. I'm not just being smart. Right? Persistent. Perpetual. Time and time again. Praise produces power. And again, through these two examples, we've seen that. We're going to look at something next week that will show this again. And one last scripture, and then I'm finished for today. One last scripture I'm going to give you. I'm going to end. It's kind of funny. I'm ending kind of... It's not the usual scripture to end on, but I think it's very important. Okay? I think we mentioned this on Thursday. I'm not sure. I can't remember. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. And that qualifies what I've been saying on Thursday. It qualifies what I said at the beginning of today's sermon. The dead do not praise the Lord. All right? Nor do any who go down into silence. There are some folks that sometimes you're going through difficulty, you're going through trouble, and the devil shut you up. There's no word coming out of your mouth into the atmosphere to change it. It's like it's just accepted. And you can't accept defeat. God doesn't want you to accept defeat. He wants you to have confidence. That's what that says, isn't it? Confidence in God. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. I didn't even see that. I just saw the confidence. And I thought, yeah, that's a beautiful scripture. Alright? Don't go down into silence. Alright? But open your mouth and praise God. I'm going to close. But note this, okay? God has a system. The world has a system. Forget the world right now. God's system. God's system is this. The way that God gets things done, how does He do it? You tell me. Can somebody tell me? How does God get things done? Thank you, Claude. And that's what I want to hear. You could have come up with different answers. It would have been right. But that's the key. Okay? That's the key. Through speaking, through the use of words, through your mouth, that's how God gets things done. We see that in Genesis 1. Remember now, we're formed in the likeness of God and made after His image. God the Father expects His children to function like Him. God opened His mouth and God spoke and God said. For example, He said, light, let there be light. In the Hebrew, it's much powerful than let there be light. It's light be. He commanded it to be and light was there. Okay? And that's how God expects us to operate today. God the Father uses words to create. And God the Son uses the words, to create this universe that we're living in. The Father willed it, the Son created it. Alright? And so it's in existence now. Okay? Because, yes, the Father willed it, but because the Word spoke it into being. And folks, that's the principle that we most times miss. We forget John 6:63. The words that I speak, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. We forget Proverbs 18:21. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The power is in our words. That's how the Father operated. And the Father says, this is how I want you to operate. If you're going to change atmospheres, you're going to do it by using words. You're going to do it by your praise. You're going to do it by your worship. You're going to do it by your declarations, your professions, your confessions, your declarations. That's how you're going to do it, through the medium of words. Are you hearing me, church? So when we gather together, you know, especially when we gather corporate, you can't be silent. Thank God, I don't think there was anybody here silent. But I'll be honest with you now. I'm going to be honest. Our praise, we need to raise it. We ever got it? Praise the praise. We need to raise the praise. Are you hearing me? We need to raise the praise. We need to say, Father, I love you. And we need to declare it. We need to sometimes just stop. Stop the music. Lift up your hands and just praise God. At times, Cole does that. He stops the music. And that's the time when, you know, when I was to play, I used to just praise God and just declare the blessings of God. And that's what we need to do. We need to do it both loudly and deliberately. The dead do not praise God. Any dead people here today? They do not praise God, nor any who go down into silence. Don't go down into silence, because by doing so, you cannot praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's bow our heads, really. This is a time where, you know, this is not... Look, while your heads are bowed and eyes closed, I have one objective, and one objective only. Okay? And that is to fulfill the mandate of God, the purposes of God, to relay truth to you. I spend time praying. I spend time at times fasting. I need to do more of that. But I spend time fasting and praying at times, and I seek God earnestly, pertaining to His people and what He wants from His people. And God has taken us in a direction, in a different way perhaps than what is common. But I'm telling you this, that God is with you. And God sees everything that you are going through. He knows everything that you're going through. And what I believe the Spirit of God is saying to you today is this. It's simply this. That, you know, stop worrying about things and praise me. Let me be your focus. Let me be your... Do what I'm calling you to do. Gather with my people, but praise me with my people. And let it come from a heart that's clean, that's right, that's sanctified. Put aside all everything that easily besets you. Because I am here, God is saying, and I'm ready to move or to activate my right hand in your favor. I want to bless you. I want to elevate you. I want to promote you. I want to move you. I want to intensify my presence in your life personally. But that can only begin with your will being focused on Him and saying, yes, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I need to lay down whatever it is that's coming. All the excuses, I need to lay it down, Father, and seek your face. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to pray corporately. Is anybody here saying, Pastor David, just remember me in your prayers, because I really need to shift some things. Or I'm going through something right now. Or I really need God's help with something I'm going through. Is anybody, just slip your hand up and slip it down. Thank you. Slip it back down. Anybody else, just raise your hand. And be honest, because God already sees what's there in your heart. And the worst thing you could be doing is just to keep it to yourself. Last call. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Put your hand up. Thank you. Put your hand up. Father, I just want to thank you for these hands that are raised, Lord. And Lord, as usual, I always say to you, Father, and it's truth.